Anyway, what am I going to talk about? Well, I just wanted to mention... It's funny, I hadn't really prepared very well for this morning. I had a few... Well, I had a few sort of three or four ideas running around my head. But last night in bed, I woke up at something like 4 o'clock and, you know, your mind starts going and can't get to sleep. And I suppose I've written on my title, Father Heart. And... I just want to remind us, though, that last year we had seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I thought, you know, a flip side of that is, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? That was last year. And then this year's verse, I haven't written it down because... But basically, it was about prospering, wasn't it, in a sense of peace and joy. It's on there. Oh, that's good. My version didn't sort of sound as good as what Ian's. So read it on your news flash and hang on to these verses. I talked with us this morning because I was lying in bed thinking about the Father Heart of God. And while we were up there in the conference, I can't remember which session it was, probably the third on the first day. At some point, there was probably a time of just music and worship. And maybe we had our eyes closed. I don't know. God, I had a picture of God the Father. And, or was it a picture of myself? But it was in relation. I could see myself in relation to God the Son. I was his brother. God the Father. I was a little boy. And that's how I saw myself. As a child before the Father. So I want to talk about adoption. So we haven't been talking about this. This all came up last night in bed. So I saw myself as a son of the Father. And so I want us to think. So it's a kind of, we're going to have a little exercise on ourselves. I want us to imagine, you can have your eyes open or closed, some scenarios of a child, or a child, teenager, whatever you want to think, someone who is really looked after in that sense. Various scenarios. We see a lot of war on telly at the moment, and we see a lot of death, don't we? And there's orphans. So think about that. Picture that. You've got an orphan. What about the child in a situation where he is governed by fear? He gets beaten for whatever he does. Or she. A place of fear. Think about that situation. Perhaps the opposite. So, one of complete neglect. There is no care. Abandonment. Think about the child who is abandoned. And I was trying to think of all these different scenarios. And Christ has won. Do you know when you go to adopt... Let's say in this country, you'd go to adopt. You can't just go and say, I'll adopt that child, can you? You would, the government, local authorities and government would check you over, wouldn't they? They would look through to see whether you could adopt. And if you, as it were, passed the test, you might be able to adopt. And Christ has won the position to adopt all of us. He has that right. He is in the position that Christ can adopt us. Of course, often in these situations, and let me just put a little thing out there. This message that I'm talking, I know we have all sorts of scenarios in this room. It's not pointed at anyone in particular. It is about us all. just in case you're feeling awkward, because I know of the situations. It's not pointed at anyone. I'm not picking on anyone. It is about us all. It might resonate with some in different ways. And often, like in our situation, we might put ourselves forward to take someone on. That's not adoption, by the way. But that sometimes that person could say, no, I don't want to go with them. Do you see? You have the right. That person cannot, often has the position that they say, I wouldn't want to go with the Evanses. You see? So we put ourselves, Christ has put himself there. He says, I want to adopt you. I want to adopt you. I want to adopt all these people outside. But not everyone says, I want to be adopted. They say, I want to stay in this place of fear. I want to stay. But I want you to think about these positions, this place of war and death, fear, abuse, neglect, abandonment. And you can, I don't know if you've pictured yourself in all those positions. Did you close your eyes? Did you think about what it would be like in those? I don't know how you felt. Did you want to be taken out of it? Or did you want to stay in those, in that place? You wanted to go out. I hope you wanted to step out. And in some of these bad situations, one of the things that can cause people great confusion is lies at various levels. And it can be a simple thing like, we're going shopping now to town. I'm taking you shopping to town, my little child. Oh, the child starts playing up. What does the person say to them? Right, now I'm going to town to buy what I need. So I'm going to town to buy myself a new coat. But I'm taking my little one with me. Little one plays up, and what's my response? If you carry on like that, I'm taking you home now. Am I going to take that child home now? No intention to, because I'm going to town to buy myself a coat. See, it's an empty word to that child, see? It's a kind... That's one example. So, empty words to your children. I'm just going to come to the thing. What about, come here, I'll give you a sweet. The child comes over and you go, oh, I haven't got any. See, empty promises. I'm not picking on anyone, but I'm just saying, we don't think of these as important, but what do you think that breeds? Distrust, insecurity, hopelessness, and disorder. It's true, that's what it breeds. You might think, oh, it's just a harmless little, if you're naughty, I'm going to take you home now. You just carry on. It breeds distrust, insecurity, hopelessness in the long term. That is the outcome of those kind of phrases. They can be on a bigger, you know, if you're good, we'll go on holiday to somewhere good. And the child has this dream that they go in there and it doesn't happen. You see where we're going. Truth brings hope, security, trust and order. I just put those things in there because these are part of things like neglect, abuse, fear. Causes chaos in people's lives. And we live with chaos all around us. But I want you to now think as if you're adopting a child out of this situation. So imagine you're adopting a child from one of these situations. Think about it. You've got some... what do you think might happen when they come into your home? I can have a bit of feedback. What do you think may happen? You've adopted someone that's been out of an abusive situation, a neglectful situation. They've been abandoned, or they come out of a place of war and death. Because that's what I was lying in bed thinking about. Because what I was put into is the place of God the Father. And I've adopted this child. That's us. You say we've been adopted into his family. We sing those songs. The full adoption hasn't happened until he returns. By the way, Jesus is coming again. That was my original talk. That's going to happen one day. And that's our, you know, think about this now. You've adopted one of these children into your family. What does that mean? It could be. It doesn't necessarily, because that child could be so grateful, because that's grateful, right? But some of this stuff is going to show through, isn't it? Some of the stuff is going to show through. So, and you as a parent, me as Dave, I go into my drawer, I look, and my sweets that I bought to watch the film this evening have gone missing. Yeah, my sweets have gone. Oh, what do I do? What do you do? You go and buy some more? Is that the answer? It could be the answer. What do you do when that happens? It's kind of a small scenario, isn't it? Do you get angry? You might do. I'm not saying there's rights and wrongs here, because I want us to think about God the Father who loves us. It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's how much he loves us, and he's willing to take us in. And my child has eaten my sweets. Yeah? What's my response? You naughty child. Could be. I don't know what the right response is. I want you to think about how God the Father, who loves you that much, thinks, and how you would respond to that situation. Probably in my situation, I've eaten their sweets. What about the child that runs away? Can you understand that the child might run away? Yeah? You might think, why? I've given them everything like this. I've given them my home. I've done this for them. And what do? They run away. Why would that child do that? But you can see what they've been through. God sees what we've been through. We might judge each other. Whoa, look at the state on them. Look at that. God knows us in a different way. And I'm the Father. I look. And I have to look and think, wow, that person has run because they're used to just doing what they want. Or whatever it could be. I don't know. What's my response to that situation? What's your response when that little child runs off, turns it back on God? Oh, all the good things I've done for them, and they've done that to me. I'm really annoyed. I'm really angry. What about the child that self-harms? Yeah? They harm themselves because of the pain they've been through. They harm themselves because they want you to take notice of them. Why would they do that? I'm giving them such a good thing. The child that, yeah, self-harms them, cuts themselves. Why do they do that? To hide the pain that their mind is in? Do we do that to God? You know, some of these things we do to God. He is our Father. He loves us. And we run away. We self-harm. We don't think we're self-harming, but he looks at us and he thinks, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that to yourself? You're ruining yourself. So the child might decide not to talk to you. I'm not talking to you anymore. Do you pray to him? Do you talk to God, your Father? Do you ever neglect him totally? How would you feel if your adopted child doesn't talk to you? The ungrateful little so-and-so. I've done all this for him, the little so-and-so. They're not talking to me. But that child may have come out of a very fearful situation that they're scared to speak because they might get beaten. They might... Do you see what I mean? So we don't know. It might be the way that they have manipulated people by not talking. Oh, I'm not talking to you anymore. You see, it's the behavior of people, isn't it? I'm not talking to you, God. You haven't given me what I want. It's usually about what we want. Oh, they're always asking for things. I've adopted this child and all they do is ask me for stuff. What would you actually like from a child that you adopted? I don't even give me some answers. What do you think you would actually like from them? You've got this scenario, you adopt this child. What do you think is the response you would like? Respect? Gratitude? For them to trust you? Interaction? Do you know God wants that from us? That's what he wants from all of us, God the Father. He wants that from us. But we can be slightly dysfunctional. But you know, he knows that. He does know that about us. He knows your past and he knows my past. He knows your ways and he knows my ways. Do you know he's bigger than all that? See, some of these things, they annoy, do you think they annoy God? I should think they annoy God. They annoy us. Do you think he can deal with them more than we can? Because, you know, some of these scenarios I put down here, I haven't had to deal with all of these in what we've done. But we've had some of these. And there's things I could put down here that we haven't. But God knows us. And he knows you. But actually, what was that list again that he wants from us? Respect. Interaction. Trust. Love. And then I was thinking, how do we love God? How do I, you know, it says, I kind of thought of going down this road. I'll stop soon. How do we go down this? How do you love God? We want to love God more, don't we? How do you love him? How do you love, you know, that song, I don't know how to love him. How do I love God more? How would you like that child to love you? Some of those things, yeah, respect. Interaction. It's nice when a child interacts, isn't it? How do you interact with people around you? I was thinking about this. I have fond memories, perhaps, of washing the dishes. It's a strange one.
It's just a memory, isn't it?
Washing the dishes. Many years ago, it's not the smartest move I ever made. We divided the week up and we chose days that we could wash the dishes, took it in turns as kids. I chose, can I have Sunday? It's like when we all sit together and eat Sunday. And I used to sit there washing the dishes on a Sunday after Sunday lunch. And I would just chat. And my mum would be there, yes, Dave, yes. Okay, Dave. And I'd be going away. Do you think she'd enjoy that? She'd enjoy that, wouldn't she? You like your children talking to you. It's a nice thing. God wants us to talk to him. You know, you might say, is that loving? That is loving. Maybe perhaps going for a walk together, you know, walking along together. It's how we show love. Have a think about how you can love God more. What he does like is obedience. He likes you to follow him. Do you, as a parent, like, would you like your adopted child to listen to what you said? You would, wouldn't you? That's what he really likes. I'm going to stop there because we've had a lot of stuff to take in this morning, haven't we? But God knows who you are and actually can deal with a lot more than you think. And he can deal with stuff that you think we couldn't deal with. He's bigger. He's got more grace. Doesn't mean that we go out and do it all the time, because think about yourself in his place as the father and what it means. And think about the things we do to God and how we treat him and how we disrespect him. But he's bigger, and you know what? He's very gracious. He loves it when we come back and say, sorry, Father, I've turned my back on you. He loves that, and he wants that. He knows what we've been through. So the Father heart, yeah, he's bigger. And I'm going to close in prayer. Father, I thank you that you are a just God, that you are a righteous God, that you are an ordered God. But I thank you that you are a God of freedom, a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of love, and a God of forgiveness. And I thank you that you want a relationship with us. You want us to talk to you. You want us to share our lives with you. You want us to tell you about our day. You want us to tell you about those silly things. You want us to tell you about those concerns that we have, our worries. Lord, you're big enough. You can deal with it. You're forgiving. And without your mercy and your grace, we would stay orphaned. We would be lost. We would be hopeless. We would be destined for destruction. But thank you that you are so gracious, more than we can ever understand. I just pray that you would help us as we go from here to remember your love and walk in your love and your grace, Lord. Amen.